The first reading is from Acts. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read Psalm 148 responsively. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all the angels. Sing praise, all the hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven and heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous winds, doing God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people, and praise for all faithful servants. The children of Israel have people who are here to the Lord. Hallelujah.
A reading from Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John. When he had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also shall love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. You may be seated. If I dare take a moment of privilege this morning, let me note that more than 10% of our worshiping community was sitting on the floor with me this morning. I celebrate that. Let it not be invisible. Whenever you draw a circle around yourself thinking Jesus is on the inside with you, you can rest assured that he'll be on the outside with the other. I first heard these words from Duane Priebe, professor of systematic theology during seminary. And today these words speak to me in ways that continue to challenge. I love my reality to be well defined, with good, clear lines. I like my reality to be predictable and clear. Often, it is not. Today is a day when the scriptures call us beyond where we are to something much larger. In the first reading, we hear Peter recounting his decision to baptize Gentiles, a Roman official and his family, no less, to those who would want him to strictly adhere to the law. In the second reading, we hear that in God's new creation, God chooses to make a dwelling among mortals. God wipes away every tear. God is beginning and end. In the gospel reading, we hear once again Jesus making a sweeping commandment to love one another. This commandment is core to all of his work, his teaching, his healing, his life, death, and resurrection. When I was a senior in seminary, there was a second-year student we called the Middlers. For some reason, he kept coming up to me to ask questions of me, questions of interpretation and theology. He would give hypothetical circumstances and situations and ask how I would respond. Personally, I found it annoying. Today, some would call some of those questions gotcha questions. They felt a bit like traps. This student continued to ask. We were on, and I continued to answer as best I could. Then one day we were on a car trip, a long car ride, together to a retreat. He commented that when he asked those questions, he often expected a particular answer. And as he asked more questions, he felt sure that he knew what my answer would be based on my previous answers. Yet over and over, I surprised him. I seemed to contradict myself. Over time, he said, he came to realize that while at the surface my responses were contradictory, when he looked closely, there was a deep consistency. There are ways, many ways, that our culture wants the legalism of that Jerusalem crowd who were questioning Peter. The simple way, the easy way, appears to be in absolute clarity, in black and white responses. Often there is a legalism to the desire. The challenge is that such legalism is couched in language of love and too often neglects to show God's compassion and God's love to folks who are in difficult situations. I personally believe that this assessment applies to nearly every hot-button issue that polarizes our society today. God's grace, though, is found in the gray space between the black and white absolutes. God's grace appears to contradict itself at times. Jesus calls people to love. He embodies love in service, in approaching profane outsiders. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well, the royal official whose son was healed, Jesus healing on the Sabbath, the woman caught in adultery, and the raising of Lazarus from the dead. In one way or another, each instance brought Jesus into proximity with the profane, with outsiders. In each instance, Jesus restored community and health and relationship and life. Each instance violated the legalism of that first century in favor of a more gracious response. Too often, the biblical accounts tell us that it is precisely in contradicting the legalism, the power and authority of the religious leaders, that Jesus was betrayed and crucified. God raised Jesus up from death that we may see how God's reign, embodied in Christ, calls us beyond death, to live in a space and time nuanced under the rubric of God's love. Our call is to move beyond judgment of circumstance and situation where we cannot know all the details, to move beyond the black and white legalism that seduces us to embrace false confidence that Jesus is on our side of the line, and to live in grace that is formed by God's profound love for all. Whether immigration reform and enforcement, whether abortion, whether capital punishment, whether questions raised by our newfound genetic modification abilities, whether sustainable living for all, whether human sexuality, the list goes on and on. When we use the lens of God's love for all creation and Jesus' commandment to live that love, the answers are not so black and white. Sometimes the answers will appear to contradict each other. We are called to live into that gracious space. We are enjoined to live out that spacious grace. We are called, like the leaders of Jerusalem, to respond, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Indeed, God has given even to outsiders the faith that leads to eternal life.